Together.
Like you, Lord.
Ancient of Days, reign. Reign, O God, in our lives. Reign in our homes. Reign, O God, in our business places. Reign in our communities, in our towns, cities, provinces and states. Reign in our countries. Reign in our continents. Reign in our world. Reign, O God, in the educational system, the health system. Reign, O God, in the political systems. Reign, Father, in every strata of society. Let your name be made known in a world that is so confused. God, we invite you to reign and bring your order to the lives of men everywhere. We honor you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you this evening for our time of study of the Word of God. There is something I've been reluctant to say for a while because it doesn't have anything to do really with Canada, but more with the States than it is with Canada. I remember early 2020, there was a picture that caught my attention. And that picture was of the present president of the United States going to meet with another president of the United States who was president in the 70s. And the picture was so odd in the sense that the present president and his wife looked bigger than life and the other president was much smaller. And I looked at that picture. I said, there's something this picture is saying. What is it saying? What exactly is God saying? The Lord says, you're going to see it. It's coming. I said, okay, I'm going to watch out for it. He said, there is a transference. I said, okay. Well, what is this transference? Well, the present president's reign is almost identical, but maybe a little bit worse than that president that he went to visit. There was a transference. And this present president, whether he likes it or not, is experiencing the same things that first president experienced. I said, wow, this thing called transferring, participating, inheriting iniquity, it's a powerful thing, very powerful. Now, having said that, we need to see the same thing from the spiritual perspective. Because there is also a transference. But somehow, for whatever reason, we seem to be very resistant to that transference. You will understand what I'm talking about as we continue to expound. Here in Colossians 1 and verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet. He has made us meet or capable, made us ready, made us meet. to be partakers. Of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us qualified. He has made us or enabled us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. The inheritance of the saints in light. So there is an inheritance for the saints who are in light. You get that? They are in light. And it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? He made us partakers of that inheritance which is for the sons and daughters, the saints in light, when he translated us, when he delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated. Metistemi is the Greek word, metistemi. Metistemi means he basically moved you from point A, darkness, to point B, light. There's a kingdom called the kingdom of darkness. He took you from that and took you into the kingdom of light. This is extremely important. Wow. So, the world system reigned over by the power of darkness, the devil, is the kingdom of darkness. And if you are living your life based on the principles of that world, you are in darkness. But God said he has translated metistemi, moved you to the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light is the heavenly places, which is far above all principalities, all powers, all the rulers of the darkness of this world, and all spiritual wickedness. Yeah? So you are of that world. And from that world, God says, I make you light, I birth you as light, because he's the father of lights. He's not a father of darkness. He's a father of what? Lights. And in him there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. Yeah? Every good, watch this, and every perfect gift proceeds from the father of lights. So if we are light, and our Father is light, then he is calling us his good and perfect. Yeah? So what does the average believer say? I'm not perfect. You see where the resistance is? I'm not perfect. But remember the principle of confession. You say what God said so that you can become what God said. So you can become the manifestation of what God said. Jesus said, no man is good but God. Why do you call me good? No man is good but God. But then he inspired the words and said, we are good and we are perfect. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. I'll take it from verse 3. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Why not? Let's just take it from verse 1. Verse 3 is perfectly okay, but let's just take it from verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant, a doulos, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like they have obtained, like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. They obtained precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Lord Jesus Christ. Through the righteousness of God. Through the righteousness of God. And Jesus Christ, we obtained precious faith. Which means that without the righteousness of God and the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you cannot obtain that precious faith. You see that? Okay. So here we want all kinds of faith. But what faith are you acquiring? If it is not the faith based on the righteousness of God and of Jesus Christ, then you've not obtained that faith. It has to be based on what Jesus has done, what the Father has done. Now it goes on and says, grace and peace be multiplied. So there is a multiplication of grace and peace, an increase. You can receive increased grace, increase of peace, multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, this grace, this peace is multiplied unto us through the knowledge. There are two perspectives to that knowledge. The knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Now we can say, the more we know God and the more we know Jesus Christ, that's how grace and peace will be multiplied to us. That's one way. But the passage is also saying, through what God knows, are you with me? Through what God knows, through what Jesus knows, that's how we get our peace. So what does God know? And what does Jesus know? We've got an example. God says to a man called Gideon, who is busy hiding, mighty man of valor. That's what God knows. What God knows is founded on the basis of righteousness, right standing, not sin. The righteousness of God. God declares you and I righteous because he gave to us the gift of righteousness so that we can become participants of what? Verse 3, according as his divine power, which is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, had given unto us, he had given unto us. He is not going to give. He has already given. So if he's already given it, then all we need to do is receive it. I don't know. Are we getting the point? Had given unto us all things, all things. He's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that I need for this life, he has already given to me. Everything I need to live godly, he has already given to me. I am not trying to get it. All I need to do is receive it, because the package has been delivered. So it's all accomplished through the righteousness of God. That's why it's called precious faith. I have received it. Father, today I have received, by your precious faith, everything I need to live life and to live godly. The health that I need, the finances that I need, the joy that I need, the peace that I need, the love that I need, the favor that I need, everything that I need, I have received it. Wow. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. How's that word again? Through the knowledge of him. One, my knowledge of him. But two, God's knowledge on the issue. My knowledge of what God has provided might be like this, but God's knowledge of what he has provided is like this. Yeah? So I don't want to come to receive with my teaspoon when God has a bucket load. Our problem has always been that we are trying to receive based on our understanding. I remember telling the story of a young kid that was in a store. I've heard it many times, and I believe it is a true story. If it wasn't a true story, well, it's an amazing story. Of this kid that went into a store and is looking at these candies and just admiring the candies. And this guy comes and says to him, "You like those candies?" He said, "Yes." "Then take some." And he was just looking at him and looking at the candies. "Go ahead, take some, son." The kid won't move. The mom is staring at the kid. What kind of child am I raising here? You're told to get the stuff. Go ahead, get it. He will move. The man finally just goes and grabs a whole bunch with his hand and gives it to the kid. And the mom says, "Why didn't you take the candy when the man said take it?" He said, "Mama, because his hands are bigger than mine." Yeah, that's why my little hand will pick a little, but I want more than what my little hands can get. I want what your big hands can get. Well, the same thing is here. We've got to trust God to release to us with his big hands, not based on my ability. The problem is that we have always tried to get whatever it is we want to get based on our ability, how long we prayed, how long we fasted, how long we studied, how long this, how long that. No, no, no. I receive the righteousness of God. If I'm fasting, I'm fasting to discipline myself, to grasp and expand myself. God said this is the month of expansion. Yeah? Okay. What we want is to allow God to expand our capacity to receive from his big hands. Amen? Through the knowledge of him that had called us. He called us to what? Glory. That's what we fell short. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God called us to glory. He called us out of darkness. When we fell into the kingdom of darkness. Now that we are saved and are sons of the light, he has called us to glory. Glory is all that God is. The doxa of God. All that God is. Not all that I am, all that he is. God is calling me to all that he is. He has called us to glory, and he has called us to virtue. Called us to that place where we understand that we are a people that have been sanctified, made holy unto him. We belong to him. We are his sons and daughters. And he's called us to his glory, and he's called us to his virtue. Hallelujah. Now, the word for virtue is the word arete, and it means excellence. But strangely enough, one of the meanings of that word arete is praise. So he's called us to glory and praise, called us to glory and excellence, and called us to glory. Are you ready for this one? It's an interesting translation. Manliness. A man is a seed carrier. Are you with me? He's called us, and a man was what was created first in the human race. Yeah? That was the first manifestation. So basically, he's called us to glory, and he's called us to being real men, created by God, sin-free, seed carriers, knowledgeable, first experience of man, he's naming everything and names everything that God brought in front of him like that. He was discerning to know that the animals were not created for him to be wife. Discernment. What is happening in our world right now? We are getting so corrupted that we don't know the difference anymore. That there are people who are living today who do not identify themselves as male nor female. They're neither male nor female. And you hear? What is that? That is demonic. That's totally demonic. God created man and a womb man. A woman is a man that has a womb. Wow. He called us to glory and to arete, virtue, excellence, praise, manliness. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, not just given unto us great and precious promises, but exceeding great and precious promises. That by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature. That's what God wants us to have. To be partakers of his divine nature. Why? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world. What world? The world of darkness that we were translated from. Escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. through lust, desires, passions. So it goes on and says, and beside this, given all diligence. With all diligence, add, makes a mention of different things. Faith, virtue, for virtue, knowledge, and on and on and on. Let's go back. We know that there is more that God has in store for us. That's the point. And there is a way he wants to bring that about. So he has metistemi, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom, that's in the dear son, we have redemption. We've been redeemed through his blood. And we've received the forgiveness of sins. God has forgiven us our sins. Who is, I'll back up. Let's understand, when God talks about he has forgiven us sins, let's understand that his word says, as far as the east and is from the west, so has he removed from us our sins. As far as the east is from the west. What does that mean? If you head north from this point and keep on going north, after a while, even though you're going in the same direction, you're going to start going south. So the further north you go, you're going to start going south. And the further south you go, you're going to end up going north. The reason is something called the equator. At the equator, you're either going north from that equator, and as soon as you hit the equator here, you start going south. South will be north until you get to the equator. But if you're going east, you will always be going east. East is always east. West is always west. You with me so far? So, when God talks about forgiveness and taking my sins as far away as far as the east is from the west, he's saying, I'm taking it away and that's done. It's dealt with. When God says, I forgive you, it's forgiven. You just accept it. But what happens many times is that we don't accept that, because I have to be punished. See, I have to be punished. And there are so many people who live their lives in that realm of punishment, which means they never truly accept the righteousness of God. They never see themselves forgiven. They are always thinking about their failures. The word for forgiveness is a word, aphesis. And how do I put this? Aphasis means, in real terms, that you keep on rehashing. You keep on rehashing the same thing. It never is done. I did this, and you never forget that you did that. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you and I to receive our freedom. Amen? Forgiveness is forgiving. And therefore, it is for receiving. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is forgiven, therefore, it is for receiving. You have to receive forgiveness. You have to receive your liberty. You have to receive the fact that your sins have been remitted. It has been sent on a mission away from you, never to keep you in bondage. So if you're living the life of bondage, it's because you've not accepted the forgiveness of God, which means you've not received the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is that right to stand, because you have been qualified to come in. And the word of God says, come boldly. Don't be timid. Lord, if it were not for the fact that you paid the price for me to come, I have no right to stand here. But because you have paid the price, you have made it possible for me to stand before you, righteous, free from sin, free from every bondage. I have the liberty of God. Therefore, I will not live in defeat. If you keep on remembering your limitations, then you have not received the forgiveness of God. As long as you embrace limitations, then you've not embrace your godness. Huh? Think about that. God has no limits. God is not under bondage. So, the way I need to think about myself in real terms is to think about what will God do? What will God think? How will God handle this? That's where we as saints have messed up. We've not thought of godness. But that's where God called you and I too, to participate, to be partakers of his divine nature. So when we talk about renewing our minds, that's what we're talking about. Moving from the limitation of the natural or subnatural mind to becoming people who think, who converse as God persons. Verse 15 says, we're really going fast, aren't we? Who is the image, the icon of the invisible God? Jesus is the icon of the invisible God, the representator of the invisible God. You've not seen God, you see Jesus, you see God. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, what do you mean you've not seen the Father? in John 14. What are you talking about? If you see me, you've seen the Father. That should be our language. What do you mean you've not seen God? You see me, you've seen God. Oh. Well, I think that's very arrogant of you. That's very proud of you. No, that's very humble. Because you are agreeing with God. You are agreeing with what God said. Pride is you arguing what God said. Arguing against it. Resisting what God said. That's our problem. We think natural or subnatural. Rather think God. We know that God is the Almighty God. He's God all by himself. But he, God, gave birth of his kind. Of his kind. When he started, let us create man in our image and our likeness. That's how it started. That's where man fell from. Yeah? So if the glory is reinstated, then that's where at least you need to start from. Because the glory is reinstated, it's called us to glory and to virtue. Arete. And as I said earlier, that's excellence, that's praise, that's manliness. Real men are God people. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. For by him, Jesus, this is, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So those things that are visible, horatos, were created by him. Those things that are invisible, aoratos. Those things also were created by him, whether they be thrones, whether they be thrones. Oh, man. Should I do this? When we talk about thrones, what comes to your mind? Seat of power, seat for kings. Yeah? Okay? He says, if there's any one with power, anyone that is a king, I created them. I am the one. A king is one that is picked out and the interesting thing about kings is that they have a lineage. Everybody has a lineage, but there is a lineage of kings that determines that anyone that's supposed to be a king has to come from that particular lineage. So if you come from a royal family, it is very rare that somebody that is not part of the royal family can be part of the royal family. Now, we do know that people that are not part of the royal family, you know, a royal has to step outside of their royal lineage to go outside and get married to somebody that is not royal. Yeah? And when they do that, they water down their ability to operate on the throne. They have to, most times, let go of their royalty, so to speak, to be a commoner. Make sense? Okay. Well, guess what we've been doing? We've been stepping away from our royalty, our divinity, and becoming ordinary men. So Paul says, you've become mere men. You've become ordinary. You were called to be extraordinary. You've made yourself ordinary. How did you do that? By strifing, fighting, complaining, griping, all of that. Peter says, add to your virtue, faith. Royalty. Things that are visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones. Visible thrones. Invisible thrones. This verse is so deep. I don't know. How to explain this? Daniel says that he was praying and fasting for 21 days, asking God about the deliverance of Israel. It's time for us to be out of this captivity. And God sends an angel called Gabriel. And Gabriel is coming, and he meets a principality called the Prince of Persia. And he's fighting, this is the angel now, Gabriel, is fighting with the Prince of Persia. But the Prince of Persia that he's fighting with is not the Prince of Persia that was physically in the earth reigning. This is the invisible prince. You get it? And God has to dispatch Michael, the warring angel of Israel, to come and kick out the Prince of Persia. And then Gabriel was able to come deliver the message. So when we're talking about principalities, when we're talking about kings, when we're talking about thrones, we're not just dealing. Okay, we have what you might call, well, in our day today, we might call him a prime minister, but in a sense, he's like a king of Canada. Well, we have, because we're part of the Commonwealth of England, it goes back to that. And the king here is actually subject to the other king, yeah? Until we strike an independence and we separate from that Commonwealth, and then we become totally independent, right? And we don't have to represent that one. But even then, if you go to our legislative building here, or go to the House of Parliament specifically, there is a room there just for the Queen. And there's a throne, and nobody goes there to sit. Because it's spiritual. Remember what we talked about? It's all spiritual. We're living in a spiritual world. One of our sons was telling me just, I think, 2 days ago, that when they have a president in their country, before he sets up his cabinet, that president has to go to this other country. First, before he sets his cabinet, he goes to this other country to say that I've been made president of my country. I won the election. And I said to him, it's a ritual. They don't just go there, they're doing something. I remember many years ago, I don't remember who was prime minister, but something struck my attention as they were bringing each member of the parliament, calling them up to swear. They said, I will keep the secret. And they kept on saying, I will keep the secret. I will keep. And I said, they're going to keep the secret. What secret? What secret are you keeping? We're going to keep this secret. You watch for the next time they're going to swear them in and hear what they say. Eyes wide shut. Our eyes are open, but they're shut. We don't see nothing. Don't see nothing. Right in front of you. Right in front of you. Day in, day out, they are doing crazy stuff. Well, those who are operating in darkness understand so many things that believers have refused to understand. But it's right there in the Bible. God says, whether they be visible or invisible, whether they be thrones, they are visible thrones, invisible thrones. It's right there. Or dominions. Kyriotes. Dominions. That which dominates, that which has mastery. Government, Kyriotes, whether they be visible government or invisible government. Now, those are principles that God established. So that the Lord says, whatever I see the Father doing, I do. Because in this natural, we've got to be connected with the spiritual. Jesus is here on earth, and he says, even the Son of Man, which is present tense in heaven. He says of you and I, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. Right now. This might be a little bit deep. Remember, there was a movie some years ago called The Avatar. Remember seeing that movie, The Avatar? There's a physical guy here, and through some means, his avatar is in another realm, and operating from that other realm. I hate to use Hollywood stories, but somehow they have tapped into spiritual principles. And you're watching the movie and you're saying, oh my, how did you guys know this? Well, they know it. Remember me sharing a story about the dream I had? And I was in the heavenlies, and I was here, and I was battling, and I shot from there. And that's what we're talking about. The visible and the invisible. There's a visible me here, but there is an invisible me there. You get it? And the goal is that invisible me and visible me. Invisible me is perfect. Does nothing wrong. Visible me does crazy stuff. The quest is, because the invisible me is just like Jesus, is to match up me and me. I know I'm talking some serious heavy stuff here, but if we get it, we will be dangerous. Absolutely in another realm. But all the information is inside your Bible. We just read surface and we go, that was a good service. No, there's a reason why the information was given to us. So we can line up with the truth, and that truth is the truth that makes us free. Dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And the problem is that which was created by him and for him are not doing that which pleases him. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. The only way I can please God is for me to begin to know God and to know what he knows about me and begin to say what he says about me. In that realm, there is no competition. In the spirit realm, the devil is defeated, completely wiped out, put to shame. In the natural realm, he's still running around doing crazy stuff because we don't know what has been done in the spirit. Well, as soon as we know what is done in the spirit, then he cannot run around us here. We cannot be defeated here, because in the realm of the spirit, God has caused us to be triumphant always. He has made us more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I need to align myself with my spirit person in Christ Jesus to demonstrate the power of God in this natural realm. Trust that that was not too much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll stop there. We got to verse 16. That is really good. We did at least three verses. We're moving. We speedified today. Hallelujah. Father, we're thankful for all that you have for us. And Lord, we repent of our sluggishness in receiving. We ask, O God, for a transformative work. You, the God who has purposed to do the extraordinary with our lives. The Lord God, that you will do it. Let it be finished. The finished work of God, let it be accomplished fully in our lives. Teach us how to receive. Show us, reveal to us the secrets of receiving. Enlarge our capacity to receive, that we may be living testaments, living epistles, living icons who represent you and represent you well. Do in us great and mighty things now, Father. For it's not by works, it's not by our might, it's all by your Spirit. Help us to live life to the full. Blessed Father, in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. And be reminded once again that this Friday will be a time of experiencing God together in our time of prayer. I look forward to having you this Friday. And this Sunday, we have a good surprise for the morning service. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a powerful time. And then, of course, I want to remind you once again about the special meetings coming up on the 5th of June, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. It's a one-day special meeting. The service is going to start at 10 and in the morning and at 6:30 in the evening. That's all I'm going to tell you, other than to say you don't want to miss any of those services. But whatever the enemy tries to do to stop you, resist you from coming, stop it. Kick it out of the way and make sure that you are here. If your card says it's not going to move, lay your hands on it or take the Uber or the bus or whatever. Just make sure you're here. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful time in Winnipeg. And so June the 5th, that's a Sunday. It's one service or two services, one day. All right? Okay, let's honor God with our giving. And at this time also, let the announcements for the week be played. We thank God for Pastor Choice on Zoom. Bless you. See you, and thank God for you. Blessings. Awesome. You dressed for church, but at home. That's good.